I must say, a very impressive shtickle Torah, which, if I read it correctly, is as follows. Nidl pairs us, Baruch Hashem, Nidl pairs us. And therefore, because Nidl pairs us, it's terrible that Nidl pair be forced upon the students of this yeshiva. That's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. They put Nidl pair in my mailbox. That's outrageous. And therefore, since they have no right to put Nidl pair in my mailbox, therefore, any decision to shtickel Torah, which, if I read it correctly, is as follows: Nidl pair is awesome, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Nidl pair is awesome. And therefore, because Nidl pair is awesome, it's terrible that Nidl pair be forced upon the students of this yeshiva. That's a terrible thing. Terrible thing. They put Nidl pair in my mailbox. That's outrageous. And therefore, since they have no right to put Nidl pair in my mailbox, therefore, any decision to remove Nidl pair from mailboxes is substantiated. But there's also a thing called free speech.
Nope.
So then how do you... Free speech? No, free speech is free speech. So why can't I put Nidl pair in the mailbox? Well, it's free speech, but that's a right which you have. But that right is limited to speech which is not forced upon me. That's the way I understood this distinction. I mean, if you want to speak freely in your room or at your table in the cafeteria or in your classroom here at First Hall and use the same exact words that were printed in the literary journal, then it's no problem, because then I can just leave. I'm not looking to stuff with your vulgarity, so that's okay. But if you're gonna put it in my mailbox, then I'm in my mailbox. That's more or less, if I understand correctly. Excuse me, you don't talk now. If I understand correctly, that's what the editorial says. In other words, you need freedom of speech, no question. And there has to be a forum where students can express whatever they feel an honest need to voice or write, as it may be. They feel an honest need to write blankety blank blank. You have to find a forum for them. I mean, that's, you know, clear. You have to find a forum for them. No question. I agree, there should be a forum for them. And there is a forum. I think a number of forums for people. Columbia University is one, right? I mean, there are many universities. I mean, this is no problem. Because after all, as I already pointed out, in those other universities, they practice what they preach. I mean, you know, they don't just talk a good game. I mean, they spend us free speech. So, Mamela, to talk about it is nothing. Right? They can. But in my opinion, in this yeshiva, there is no forum for such expression. No, none, zero. Now, what goes on behind closed doors, out of earshot of anyone who is sensitive to it, so, you know, Hanistara Hashem Elokei? I don't advise at the present time. We should bug every room, and when we pick up certain bad language, we should have the student evicted from the yeshiva. Down the road, maybe it'd be a good idea to think about it. But at the present time, there are bigger problems, which are farhesia, which we have to worry about. But if a person goes around using foul language, I don't think he belongs here, Bechlan. I don't think he belongs here. A forum? Of course a forum. Sure, it's free speech. Let him go to a different school and speak freely. But over here, I don't think it's appropriate. If it's halachically, once you can see it's halachically prohibited, which it seems to be the opinion of this newspaper, then what can I tell you? Now, this I don't understand either. Certainly, the standards of free speech at other universities, should not be banned without the university expressly informing its faculty. I thought it did. It says Torah Mada. That's on the front cover of everything. So Torah Mada means it expressly informs the fact that this is, we have different rules and regulations over here. Before we even you even walk in with your Mada, there's a word that comes first. And that word is Torah. I should express every last detail of what the Torah is. Look up yourself what Torah is. These people are intelligent. They know what the Torah is. So let them understand what the Torah is. The problem really is, and that's why I think is the unspoken agenda over here, that there are those who maintain that, no, it's not so bad. It's not so bad. And therefore, though we believe in Torah Mada, undoubtedly, and there's no need to express to the faculty that they're not permitted to serve pork to their students when they have a party, when they make a siyum on Shakespeare or something like that. They can't serve pork. You know, no one ever expressed that to a faculty member. But at the same time, I think everyone would understand, you understand yourself? Serve pork to the students of yeshiva in college. It's not that shy. It's beyond, it's out of bounds. Everyone understands that. I don't expressly say so. Because it says Torah Mada. So you expressly said so. It's one word, Torah. And that means you can't eat pork. Clar. What's not so clar in some people's minds is, you say the word Torah, it means you can't say these other words. That's what I'm yeah. Now, therefore this statement over here, students have the right to privately express themselves any way they wish. Instructors, their mentors, their friends in the classroom, I disagree with the last one vehemently. The classroom, they're also imposing what they say on other people sitting in the classroom. The same way as you can't, assuming you can't put it in the mailbox, right? You can't put it in the mailbox. So then, the editor incentive to push its provocative material into the general student body. I mean the general student body. What do you mean the general student body? I'm the general. If it's not general, then it's all right. Or the general student body. Right? So if you can't do it to the attitude of the student body, because the students don't want to have this stuff, and they want it, they're not allowed to have this stuff. So the same by the same token, you can't speak in a classroom, because I want to be in that classroom. I'm allowed to enroll in that class. So how can you speak that way? So they have no quote, they have no right, when they use the word right is a wrong word. No right to anything, the Torah is not allowed to do it. But right, they mean in the Benon L'Chaveru aspect. Benon L'Mamach is a little burning Gehenna. We already learned about how deep the Gehenna is for these things. Okay, it's a little burn. But Benon L'Chaveru, they burn for that too. So they say, if their friends and their instructors and their mentors talk all the same double path, so they won't burn out Benon L'Chaveru. Let's say they'll be Machshulim and Averis, but not in the, not Mitzar as Chaveru. Okay. Not in a lack of covet for Chaveru. But if they do it in a classroom, the classroom to me is exactly the same as the general student body. The Pashtus. And the question is the YU emblem. This is a new Kodesh Kodoshim. The YU emblem. Oh, they didn't know. Alright, maybe. And if you imagine this, listen to this one. The fact that the editors and faculty advisors of Kol were not consulted is inexcusable. This courtesy should have been extended despite the halakhically problematic nature of the journal. What does that mean? If someone is eating pork, the teacher served pork and walked out of the room. And now the kid's about to eat pork in the sand, and they say, don't eat pork. Oh, why not? So I would take it away. You didn't consult the teacher. The teacher gave me pork. The teacher put pork on the table. It's inexcusable to take away the pork without consulting the teacher first. Huh? You agree with that? Does anyone in this room agree with that? Now you can raise your hand. Does anyone in this room agree with that? It's you have to consult the teacher first to let the student eat the pork? Because the teacher's not there and they're not available for comment? No one would agree with that. I don't hear it. The terrorists is they don't use this pork. This is not pork, it's only porn. It's one letter, mischalfen. It's one letter difference. So it's not so bad. So now it becomes inexcusable if you don't, despite the halakhically problematic nature. It's poor problematic. Let me ask you a question. It's poor problematic. I don't say any problem at all, poor. No problem. It's prohibited. So this is not a halakhically this gives it away. It's a problem. We understand why there is some machmirim, which may include most of the student body. It's not most. That this group, the general most, they have to most in the parentheses, they consider it halakhically problematic. and the minority can say it's halacha di proper. So the man, you only call like the machmir about chutzpah, you don't consult the teacher first. Pork, that's halacha di prohibited, so then you don't have to consult the teacher first. That's the mashmaut of this whole thing. So I have to reject this, I'm sorry. But on the other hand, there is something which I can't blame the newspaper, I should blame the yeshiva, the administration, quote unquote. The next paragraph I think is well stated. It is obvious that the university must publicly define its position on issues of free speech so that an uncomfortable situation such as this will not reoccur. I think the university is a public opinion position, no pork allowed in the yeshiva. I don't think we're not put in the newspapers, but it's clear they don't serve pork, you can't have it in the yeshiva. Finished. Finished, can't have it. So therefore, that's halakhically prohibited, not problematic. The fact that the yeshiva, on this various of its clubs and groups and this and that and other thing, turns an eye and doesn't disregard the fact that this quote expression, free expression exists, gives sent vibes and messages to the students. Hey, you know, maybe the majority of the students don't want it, but it's not completely prohibited. It's problematic. That's why, you know, when they had this kind of languages once in a dramatic society, and no one said anything. And they had a teacher uses such kind of expressions in this school. I don't mention any names of teachers. And it happened, and people knew about it, and they didn't say anything. So they think about pork. So in a certain sense, there's the yeshiva with Shamba Vashasak. So they were the yeshivas. I think with the yeshiva, I mean, I don't want to blame any individual. I'm saying they're all at fault. The yeshiva, whatever. The college, or the university, or the whatever it may be, the reeds, whatever, the other Russian papers you want to use. Well, whoever's at fault, could they then come out strongly and say, no, this is not allowed. Absolutely not allowed. Really, it's not allowed. And the same, there's no free expression in eating pork on this campus. So there's no free speech in speaking pork. What's the Rabbi Yisrael Salanta already said? That the Yidden are very careful in terms of what goes into their mouth, but not careful what comes out of their mouth. Now that's, you know, that's a mouthful. That's a very powerful statement. And unfortunately, the students are not completely to blame. They pick up these mixed messages, and they call it halakhically problematic. So, I'm only one person. Yeah, there are many, many individuals who are the staff of the yeshiva. So I'm telling you, in my opinion, it's not problematic, it's prohibited. Finished. Not allowed. And therefore, I can't really fault the students that much because they're really responding to the to what you might call the wishy-washy attitude of the yeshiva. That, you know, here the yeshiva jumped, were very angry. If the rules are going to cause a lot of problems, that this thing is being printed, it's going out to the whole world. Yeah, but then why did you say anything when it was such language was used in a public forum? Balpet. It was used in a play. I mean, I don't want to go into all the details and the whole history. It was in a play. Teachers used it sometimes in a classroom. Yeah, but that's going to stay with between us. You know, that's not so bad. But this thing is going to go out into the world, and we're going to get a black eye. Well, you know, I mean, if you're so concerned about it so bad, you shouldn't let it happen, quote, between us either. That's a very serious problem. Very serious. That's why I wanted to just comment on this editorial. Of course, the letters are interesting. One from guy wants to compromise. I'm not sure what that means exactly. You take out the words, you'll just sit there and then scratch out, like, and then they compromise over here. You want to cut those out with the scissors and put them, okay, that's a compromise. That's schon gut. I don't know if that's what he means. I'm not sure. Somebody just can't have compromise. I mean, is that what? Then, of course, there's a long letter about the higher authority. It's true. Oh, I'm sorry. Harvard and Penn. I used Columbia. I'm sorry. I used the wrong college. All right. All the same. And, yeah. What's this next one? Was there one? They seek halakhic advice from YU faculty. Good. Baruch Hashem. I'm not sure what it means. Are they going to answer from Professor Lee? He's also YU faculty. I don't know if that's what they mean. I'm not sure who they're going to ask. But, yeah. All right. So having said this, I want to speak a little about the parsha Shavua. I caught myself. I was fumbling through my file yesterday, and I came up with a Xerox, which has some things I wrote for Einayim LaTorah a couple of years ago. Parshas Vayera, and links into Parshas Chayesara too. And it really goes back to some history also. Many years ago, I believe it was 9 years ago, just about. I was asked to speak at a symposium, and it was, I think it was held at Stern College, and a previous speaker was very critical of a statement of Chazal. How can that go on in Yeshiva University? Don't ask me either. I mean, the professor was not from within our Yeshiva. He was allowed to speak there, and when I heard, no one said anything. Rashi says in this week's Pasha, he named all the famous Rashi, but sorry, Menu, Snuay, that sorrow is very modest. In 2 weeks from now, we're going to read a pasuk of Yaakov Ishtam, Yosheva Holon, which tells us that Yaakov Avinu learned his Rashi in the base medrash of Shem Ve'eva. So this lady professor wanted to know, hey, what's going on over here? Comes to Yaakov, Ohel means the base medrash. When it comes to sorry man, it all means the tenth, you know, she was begging chalas, and what's going on over here? Discrimination, and they look down at women, the gansamaisis, you know. That was her
was she in the Beis Medrash
That was her question. So, I was upset, really more than upset when I heard the way there was all attack against Chazal. This just doesn't belong here. But I was thinking about it afterwards. Maybe it's really a connection between the two Oholim. The Ohol of Sarah and the Ohol of Yaakov Avinu. You know, Snuahi, which is the word which Rashi uses in this week's Parsha, to explain the neighbor Ohol, the word Snuah is found twice in Tanakh. One is to be known after we read soon. But Sneah Leches Imalokeh, which by the way, applies to all human beings, Jews and non-Jews, males and females. I don't want you to think for a moment that sneer is some of a word we apply to women. And men are not bound by the meat of sneer. Chas v'shalom to say such a thing. Hatsneer lechasim alokecha, higi lecha odom ato, across every human being. Okay? That's what's found. We're required to walk with sneers before HaKadosh Baruch. And yet in Mishnah we also learn, a positive is tsnuim chokhma. With those who are tsnuah, that's where wisdom resides. That's it. That's where the word tsnuah is found in Tanakh. Indeed, there's another pasuk, which is often spoken about in today's society, called Kavud Debas Melech Penima. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. And very often you find these feminists decrying this pasuk. Ooh, it's a pejorative, it's a put-down, it's a boo, boo, boo. Basmela Panima, the one has to be inside. What's this? We want to be outside. We want to be the chief executive officer. We want to be attorney general. We want to be a Supreme Court. We want to be president, whatever, rabbi, whatever you want to be. There should be no bounds. If you look at the Medrash Rabbah, the beginning of Bamidbar, takes the pasuk of Kol Kvuda Basmela Panima and says it refers not just to women, as is the simple pshat, in the mashal, after all, Mishnah is a mashal, but refers to the greatest person who ever lived, male or female. Who's that? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Chazal say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself by Ohel Moed, that's the puzzle beginning of Midbar. The Midbar Sinai by Ohel Moed. Why in Ohel Moed? Why? Because of the Indian of Tznius. Moshe Rabbeinu was in a hiding in a tent, that same kind of a tent, the third tent. You have the Ohel, your neighbor Ohel, and you have the Ohel of Yosef Aholim, and you have the Ohel Moed, same word Ohel. Moshe Rabbeinu's Ohel is Tznua, and that's the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu's Ohel is the place where Kadosh Baruch Hu reveals the Torah. You see the two themes are connected. Here they're discrete, they're separate. One in Parshas Vayera, one in Parshas Toldos, but they come together by Midbar. The Ol, that Ol of Ol Moed is where it's B'tzniyus at the Medrash Rabbah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu, and in that context, the quote of Pasuk was associated with Sori Meinu, of quote, Fudabas Melech Penima. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the example of modesty. He could have displayed himself in public all the time when he gave the Torah. No, only in Ol Moed. As a matter of fact, this expression "sneeze" is found in Rashi yet in another place. Not just here by Yeretz Nui. In Parshas Kisisa, where Rashi says in the pasuk, "Va'alei Eli Hehora." Just read it in the Chalamoid. "Va'alei Eli Hehora." Moshe Rabbeinu is beckoned to come up to me to the top of the mountain. So Rashi makes the following comment: "It's a comment you should remember for all your whole life and never forget it." Harishonos, the first luchos were given, Bekolos, or Vichuos, were given with a big fanfare publicity. Shalta ben Ayin Hara. So the Ayin Hara somehow ruled over it, and they wouldn't stop it. They caused it to be broken. And therefore, the second luchos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Alei Eli, by yourself, no one else with you, just a private yechidus, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu. And concludes Rashi, we see from here, Ein lecha yofa min hatzlius. I talk about a woman in a tent, Bekin Chalas. Talk about the greatest person in the world, Moshe Rabbeinu, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. The same expression, Sneus, is found. You may ask, so why was the first Luchas given with all the videos, the PR, and the whole Kolos of Brokim? The answer is, the Rambam gives the answer. Rambam in Chassid Soria Torah writes that this is a Mokka for our Muna. We believe in God, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu appeared to the entirety of Klal Yisrael. And that's how we know that it's true. As the Kuzri says, all the religions claim that they have these great people who did great things. How do they know? Who saw Yashka walk on water? The Devrayim. Not the Devrayim, we know. Who saw Yashka walk on water? I'm not Bucky, I think Peter and Paul or something like that. Two Shekharim claimed they came back and they saw Yashka walk on water. Why they say that 600,000 people saw Yashka walk on water? This is stated in the books, in the Gospels. Let it say so. The answer to the Kuzari says, it's hard to make up such a story. What do you mean? Where 6,000? Where did it happen? Muhammad also went up north in Jerusalem, according to some, was it Mecca? I don't remember, I forgot already where. So who witnessed that? Oops, a guy saw it, wasn't there. So he must have gone around. So one guy saw it. Five guys garnished. What I said was, 1,000 people saw Muhammad go up to heaven. The Kuzri said, it's hard to make up these things. It's to be contested. No one contests our Masorah. And that's exactly why the Kuzri says we believe in our belief, and no one can prove otherwise. The Pesukim said, the Rambam says, you can't say there's no Torah, because we have contradiction from 600,000 witnesses, plus that's men, plus women and children, huh? Millions of people saw it. That's our tradition, which has come down from generation to generation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had no choice but to do so. But after he did that one time, the second luchos was given b'tznius. That's it. The problem is that today's world, our world is filled with all kinds of terrible things. Nothing is modest anymore. Nothing. This idea of modesty in the sense of doing things privately and as a private person, shunning the limelight. Only one of the rebbeim wanted to shun the limelight. Kol HaKavod, he wanted to shun the limelight. But today we want to get into the headlines and then be in the newspapers and then there should be big. No. We should all try to do b'tznius, except sometimes you can't help it. The same with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kibayachal couldn't help it, had to go public with a big fanfare that we should believe the Gam B'choy Aminu La'olam. That's what the Pesuk says of the Ezebar Sinai, B'chore. Had to be this one revelation which will last for all times. So too, they have to put it in the head in the papers that you're going to give a shiur. Well, there has to be write a sefer. People can read your Torah. So you can't help it. That's the way. If I'm not going to write the sefer, no one knows. Even though it's sneers to get wrote Svar. Because otherwise, no one knows what to say. So you have to go out a little bit to a shiur. Although some Gedolim for this reason didn't publish in their lifetimes. They left all their Svarim with Saviyat. And after they died, they were published. They were such tznuim that they would rather leave the Torah world bereft for an extra umpteen years and their bastion rather have to be in the limelight. They should say Kiddushim Rab Goyin Rab something, Kiddushim Rabbeinu something. No, that was the Brisker tradition. Rab Chaim, Rab Elmo, the Gevaldi, the Kiddushim Torah was not printed until after the Petir. Nothing. So others have, did have different traditions. Okay, but I'll call upon and that's our tradition. Unfortunately, today in the world in which we live, there's so much profanity. Profanity is the opposite of tznius. There's vulgarity. There's so much explicit lyrics. What's the name of the second lady? All right, have a straight tipper. Grab it some tipper. I have to give her credit. If I told the right person, have I right? She's out against the explicit lyrics. It's terrible. These lyrics, again, they don't just talk a good game. They talk a good game and then they play out the good game, whether it be Gili Arayis or whether it be Shvichas Damim. Both. Both. Studies have shown that the Dibra HaMevili they might say. Let's stop. And that's why, as I think I have to quote somebody, they told me, call the Yeshiva Erba. Right? That you have this kind of, stuff, this Diburim floating around, your Chas V'Chalila, it could be Dibra HaMevili they might say. The Dibra alone is bad enough, even if it's never the Dibra they might say. Poisons the mind. So I suppose the morale, the mind is different from the animals. But a chutzah, it could chas shalom maybe the demaisa. Don't believe me, take it from Tipper. She's right. All the studies prove that she's right. And she's talking about television with all the murders and this nus. I saw recently they had a list of how many per minute, they have how many murders and this nus per minute exist in the TV. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. So when I grew up and I watched TV, Snus was never shown on TV. But it was never this kind of stuff. And even violence, it was violence, can't say no. But, you know,
it's a technological advantage.
No. You see, street violence, you hardly saw. I mean, the guys over there had the cop shows. Most of us, when I was a kid, was like cowboys and Indians. It was in a different world. cowboys and Indians. There's nothing to do with it. It didn't impact so much on the street. Now, they describe, you know, it feeds on each other. The show tells you what goes on in the street, which then makes it happen more in the street. You know, with the assault weapons against the cops. It's not a joke. It's a very serious problem. Very serious problem. And you know, modesty, humility, which is... I don't have time, I'll discuss it with him next week. There's a link between these two. The word modest means two things in English. Modest means humble, no, not about gaiva, right? And modest also means to the exclusion of ostentation. A guy can do nothing, just he feels in his heart he's the greatest. The guy can also, not say anything, but he can be very ostentatious in what he does. And we'll see that there's a link between these two. And a person who's modest, that means, number one, he shouldn't speak or be involved in this kind of terrible language that we spoke about earlier, this vulgarity and profanity, chas v'sholem. So they shouldn't be involved in this kind of actions, which this vulgarity and profanity describes, be involved in it, even a kiyuzeh. Shouldn't condone it, shouldn't countenance it, shouldn't watch it. And that's also difficult these days with so much stuff. Turn off the TV. That's it. This is out of bounds. Finished. And a person has to also recognize that he has to be a humble, an onuf. An onuf. And someone who's not an onuf, the Baal Gaiva, Moses of Sochem, our Masechta, the Samach Vav of the Beis, you can look it up. But he loses his tongue. And if I always say it's not a coincidence that Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the greatest Torah personality in history, was also Vayish Moshe Onav Me'od Mikol Mashal Pnei Adama. It's not a coincidence. He was the most modest person in the world and he was the greatest person in the world. It's a coincidence. Not a coincidence. Memela, as I say, yes, Yaakov Ish Tam Yoshev Aholim, who was in the schus of his grandmother. Hinei Ba'ol, sorry man, it's Tznui. This led directly, not to by, but just directly, the tznius of Sari Menu, her modesty, which is linked to humility, which is linked to Torah scholarship, as we find later in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, Alei Alei HaHora, and Oel Moed, Kolubas Manat Panima, both sources, that is the key to all Torah accomplishments. Tznius. It started at the beginning. Hineva Oel, Tznua here. Not a put down in any which way, on the contrary, it's the greatest compliment we can give to anybody. Greatest compliment. And sneers, as I said before, applies to men as well as to women. What I'd like to discuss with you, Mitzvashem, next Thursday, and please remind me, is how sneers relates, the two senses of sneers relate to one another, how it applies to women specifically, how all this ties into the parasha of Shidduchim, which of course is Chayei Sara. That's very important, and Mitzvah will discuss that next week, and maybe in the following week we'll have some kind of shiurim on Thursdays about that whole parasha as well. For Shabbos, anyone want to come in for Shabbos? Anybody want to come?
Well, I think I put it on the Ma'amar Kamos. I have a copy of my Ma'amar Kamos today. I kept myself a copy, Baruch Hashem. The Mordechai. Oh.
Right? Mordechai Siman Tov Kuf Lamed Hey Kosev Rav Yoh. That was basically on the Ma'amar Kamos before, a long time ago. But I wanted to just look through it again briefly, Chazak briefly, since it really was an hour daf, even though we discussed it before. It's a quick chazara. Good to review. So the Mordechai says as follows.
Amina.
Yeah, it's the Kosev Rav Yoh. But it's small Chav Dalet, it's of the big day Yesha, which I asked you to see also. Kosev Rav Yoh, that filo hu beiso shel nachwi, v'yote ha Yisrael mimenu, af al pisha nachwi yitin l'sofa l'skemsa b'pesach, amitzu mutelas al Yisrael, asek v'livdok l'avach shiyote. Fani mili b'meforesh yote mimenu b'shayora. Avala nitnas ha Yisrael mimenu v'vayis acher b'ir azos ol b'acheres, shiyivdok v'yivar shama, su la boi l'mivdok hocha. We already discussed this from the perspective, we saw this, we read this already inside, we saw the Ramah, and we saw the other Meforeshim on it. The big day Yesha, what's the tour? Who creaks, who argues on the Ramah. The nearly she ain't Sarach Livdok. See the big day Yesha of Dalit? He disagrees with the Rav Yoh. And says, Kevin Sha'akum Nichlas Bebeso. If the girl is going to come into the house, Afim Nisha Li Yisrael Chometz Vare Mesiyash Mimenu. Ve'en lecha hefka godol mizeh. And it's hefka. Chotel Beis Yosef Allah. Ve'en zeh taina. Because the Tama of Rav Yoh came and said, "Nichlas l'avid yom t'chal l'chol mitzvahs chachamim." She tzivu l'vayr v'lo stagim v'bittel. From kein afal pi she'en l'chayef k'gvadol gola mizeh. Kol she'en l'mivayr lo kiyem mitzvahs chachamim. She me'acha she nichlas l'avid yom chal olav chobas abir. Period. So therefore, the Beis Yosef says he doesn't like what the Torah says so much. U'mashe chilek Rav Yoh bein nichlas l'vayr zachal lo nichlas nivish u'mishum. A couple of big chidushim in Beis Yosef. One, that if it's a chiyuv chal on you with respect to a house, you can get out of the chiyuv by fulfilling it in a different house, which is a chiddush l'kula. I wouldn't have said so. You're mechuyev within Lamed Yom in every one of your houses. So he's a kula which the Beis Yosef has. On the other hand, there's a tremendous chumrah, namely, that if you have one house and you're mechuyev in that house, you're not going to find another, then that chiyuv exists and is unavoidable and you cannot get out even by being mafkir or your chametz. What in fact is the opinion of the what is the opinion of the my write out? What is the opinion of the Rav Yoh? So we saw the pshat, we discussed this last time by Riches, we have a katta this time, says as follows. Not the pshat that a person Again, let's get the name straight. The Rav Yoh is in the Mordechai over here, in Siman Tov Kuf Lamed Hei. Right? Well, he says the obligation exists, he can't get out, let's move to another house. And the Beis Yodos explains to Rav Yoh. What did the Torah say? Let's go back to the Torah. What did the Torah say? What's the problem? Ein lecha hefker gadol mizeh. So the Beis Yodos says, who cares? Who cares hefker? Who cares? Hefker doesn't mean anything. You still have the chiyuv on you from before. So we said pshat last time, that's not the pshat that by hefker you're avoiding the obligation. It's unavoidable. By hefker you're fulfilling the obligation. It's the Mekor Chaim's word. If you're mafka, you fulfill the obligation. The obligation does not mean you have to dafka, burn it, and check it, and all that stuff. You can be mafka, you can give it to a guy. You look, he quotes enough in a Mishnah, the first Mishnah in the second parak. We know what that Mishnah says. Kol Shah, that the parak begins, the famous parak Kol Shah. Kol Shah, Shemut Alechol, Machal, Behema, Lechayel, Leofus, Mochol, Lenachri. So you can be Mochol, Lenachri, so you can be mafka it. Hefka is the equivalent of being mochel and nachri. That's the pshat in the Torah, as the Mekor Chaim explains. Being mafkir is not like plain bittul. They didn't rely on plain bittul. No, for various reasons, bittul. Maybe you didn't mean it, but whatever it is. It's better than bittul. This is hefka mamish. Hefka is like giving it to a guy. And giving it to a guy certainly would be good. Nope, not the other way around. Why did the Rav Yoh like the Torah's terrors of giving being the terrors is pushing? The Rav Yoh holds that Hefker is not like giving it to a guy. Hefker is not like giving it to a guy. Giving it to a guy is okay. But your mafkir, there's no guy around. There's no John, there's no Jim. Nobody's here. So therefore you are not considered in fulfillment of the mission over here of Mochol and Nachri. And therefore you are wanting. You have an obligation which you must, in fact, carry out. That's the word. That's the topic. He didn't. Mafkib and Peh, a little belave, a little belave, maybe insincere, or maybe he didn't mean it, maybe he'll back out, whatever. Bittle I don't want to rely upon. Hefker they're going to rely upon. And according to the Rav Yoh, even Hefker's no good. Because Hefker, I mean, one of two things. Either we'll say that he wasn't Mafkib and Feirish over here. He didn't say Feirish, I raised the Hefker. The Lashon of the Rav Yoh was, the Lashon of the Tur was, That's over dramatic, the Rav Yoh will say. That's not true. If you say, I raise a hefker, it's a hefker, gadol mizeh. That didn't say anything. That's one way. Well, no, hefker also wouldn't be good. I have to give it to a guy. Hefker itself would not suffice. We'll come back to this idea later. Why hefker is inferior to giving it to a guy. We're going to come back to this in a little while. Yes?
So when he goes to the other house, he does bittul on the other house also, is that what we're assuming then?
I guess so, a little bit in all of his chavetz. Yeah?
No, so if you're not assuming that way, then, I mean, what does it matter, what does it matter that he's doing
bedikah
over here?
You have to bedikah in the other.
Right, because the rabbi said that if he leaves the Beis Nachum, and he goes to another house, and he does bedikah there, then he doesn't have to do it in the first house.
That's a chiddush l'kula, incredible chiddush.
Right, no, so what I'm saying is that we have to assume that he did bedikah in the other house.
Right, has to at least bedikah, at the very least bedikah, right. That's correct. Yes, name. That's a good question. The answer is that although bittul is mishum hefker, mitam hefker, the question is really hefker mamish. For example, there's a difference in bittul. How should I put it? I'm trying to phrase it accurately over here. Some poskim say that bittul on Shabbos is mutter and hefker b'Shabbos is also resort. Some say that bittul hefker b'leiv is no good and bittul b'leiv is good. Right? Even those who hold that hefker b'fnei shlosha, bittul does not require b'fnei shlosha. So even they say that bittul is mishum hefker mamish, not in between sheet of the Tosfos sheet of mamish, the Rosh and the Torah presumably subscribe to, still it has certain leniencies. And that's what made me make a critical difference. Because of these leniencies, the Chazal perhaps didn't want to rely on it by itself. They require a bedik and a beer aside from the bittul. Whereas hefka mamish, which is either fulfilled by saying, I raise a hefka, or leaving the house, actions speak louder than words. That's Pash Pash the Pshat in the Torah. And if I have to go to Mizeh. What do you mean, Enochat Gomizeh? He says, I raise a hefka, it's a bigger hefka. No! Actions speak louder than words. If he says, I raise a hefka, he leaves out, I raise a hefka! Louder! Right? He said it's a more powerful statement than effect. That's what the Torah may hold. And the Rabbi Yom may either disagree and say, no, words speak louder than actions. Because words are explicit and actions are only implicit. Or he may say, hefka proper is also no good. I have to give it to a goy mamish. We'll come to that a little later, why hefka may be no good. Who else may agree with that opinion? Okay. Fine. The Mechaber we mentioned before, as it's reviewing, calls the Yeshar like the Rav Yoh, and the Ramah calls the Tur. The Ramah calls the Tur. But if you sell the Chametz to a goy, then we assume that it's okay. That's what we spoke about in terms of our Mechivas Chametz. Even they only rented the house to the goy. That's what we do. Fine. Because you're Mekayah, not even Potter from Takanas Chazal. You're Mekayah Takanas Chazal. Okay. Fine. The Ramah does have a phrase when he talks about the Kula that the goy has to come into the house. That's what comes from the Rav Yoh. The Rav Yoh said, he says, Afal Pisha Nochi Yitin the Sofas HaChametz. Still is machmas. So the Torah is mekel in that case, as we see quoted over here. In the Big Day Yesha, Kevin Sha'akam Nichus Bebeso. And what if the Akam was not Nichus Bebeso? What if it remains empty? What's the difference if it's empty? Who needs the goy to come in there? Let it remain empty. That's a dispute. Some say the Ramah's Lashon is Lav Dafka. Lav Dafka. That's what the Pachok Yankov says, the Mishnah Berurah quotes it. Lav dafka. If you'll say it's dafka, say again what we spoke about before. All hefka, there are more agrees that hefka we're choshish for. Like Meir said, hefka's a harama, and hefka's not much better than bittul, it's really the same thing. Come on, after all, we're choshish for all these things. But if a guy walks in and takes over the house, so then it's like mochel and ochri. It's better than hefka. It's mamish the Mishnah Mochel and Ochri. You know, he didn't make it a formal sale. I leave the house and I leave my cookies there. And the guy walks into the cookies are his. I gave it to him. It wasn't in the contract. My house was worth $100,000. The cookies were worth 50 cents. They didn't want to put a nice Stella Dora cookies in the contract. But it's understood that I'm giving it to him. He's taking over. Okay, we can cut it too. And if it actually acquires it, right? Can you whatever? Can you not bore? However he acquires it. The pashtas. Yeah, it could be if the Ramah is dafka, but if it's hefka proper, just hefka alone, even a real hefka with choshesh laharama. The Yerushalmi says that bittul is no insufficient with choshesh laharama. But if the goy walks in, then we're not choshesh. That's a machlokas. Okay, I wanted to review briefly because although we discuss officially on the Avdal, in case it's really found on Avdal, I wanted to mention it again. Yes, ma'am. Could be. It's hard to say. What he said one line. It says we just can't figure out precisely. I want to discuss now the Indian of the next that we spoke about the Shloshim Yom. We learned Sholim V'Dorsh and Vilchas HaPesach Shloshim Yom. So the Ran speaks about it here in the back. Please turn from the Mordechai. It's a very short ride to the Ran. That means, what does it mean? What is it saying over here? All it says around the 30 days before Pesach, a person who was a shaman on Hilchos Pesach, you have to speak to him. You can't say, I'm not going to talk to you now. Stop. says, Kolomar, the Chashivina Leish Shoel Kinyan, Kaim Leviyam, Bishay Tamidim, Shoel and Echad Shoel Kinyan, Echad Shoel, Shelo Kinyan, Sheniskokin Leish Shoel Kinyan. That means, what does it mean? What is it saying over here? All it says around the 30 days before Pesach, a person who was a Shal on Hilchos Pesach, you have to speak to him. You can't say, I'm not going to talk to you now.
It's
a Shoel Kinyan. But there's no obligation according to the Ran of darshaning. Hilchos Pesach for a month before Pesach. What led the Ran to this conclusion? You can't tell too much from here. It's the Ran of Megillah that said it. Because there's another Gemara, famous Gemara in Megillah. I think it appears twice in Megillah. Moshe Tikkun, maybe only once. Moshe Tikkun the Israel, she was Oskim the Hilchos Pesach, Atzeres, the last half of Megillah, I think it's back on that dollar also, I think. Right, two places, okay. Whatever it is. So, Chastira, here it is Shloshim Yom, here it says only the Yontif proper. So the Ran got out by saying Pasha. On Pesach and on Shavuos and Sukkot, on the Yontif itself, you have to darshan and say Shiurim and learn Torah and Halach and all. 3 days before, it comes here. Just if a guy asks you a Shal, is a Shal Kenyan? That's how the Ran is a very minimalist approach the Ran has. Very minimalist approach. To the whole issue of 30 days before Pesach. The guy has a question. You have to answer the question. No more. So the Bir Halacha is not very happy with this. To say the least. Nothing, no problem. He just thinks it's wrong. It's the first Bir Halacha that was Pesach. Very long and famous Bir Halacha. He said it's partially wrong. It's wrong. It may depend on the two gears so. Some of the gears are sholin, some of the sholin v'dorshin. The other gears are sholin, tov. Sholin is only to ask. But the gears are sholin v'dorshin, that implies there has to be a drosha. It has to be drosha for a month before the Bir Halacha. It depends upon the gears. It's sholin or sholin v'dorshin. Oh, drisha v'chakira. Ooh, wow. Could be, not bad, that's sharp. Okay, Sholem Vidarshim, the Tamidim Sholem, Tamidim Vidarshim, they ask and they seek. Wow. Wowie. Could be right. Could be right.
The
Ran
has to give
Vidarshim. Huh?
The
Ran has to give Vidarshim. Yeah, anyway, that's shot in the Ran. The Ran has to give Vidarshim, says it means to seek, not to expound. Could be. Could be. But the question is to see the Alfusis. The Alfusis are from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu darshan 2 weeks with no shail over there. In the Gemara by Rav Shimon Gamliel. So the Bir Halacha says, according to the Afusa from Rav Shimon Gamliel of 2 weeks, so it's Mamish. In Mamish, he spoke. It wasn't a question of the air. He spoke. So the same way as he has 2 weeks, so we have a month. From
that's
one.
Right.
Huh?
Right. Show.
Okay. Okay. Quote the Gemara in Sanhedrin over here. Sanhedrin of Yudbei, it's clear that they died Darshan, although there was a sure of you, a compromise view, the Chok Yankov, that it depends where. In Beit Avad, you have to have 30 days of prep for Yankov, in a centralized based medrash, you have to have Shiurim, etc. But in the Bema's private home, no. Then you have to ask, it's just that you can ask a question of Shaul Kinyan, and no more than that. What about the Gemara Masechet Megillah, which says only on Pesach, Shavuos, and the Sukkot proper? So there are different opinions. So some say, like the Beis Yosef, the Pashup Shah. It depends what. If the halacha, what do you do in terms of what do you do in Nuchas? I don't know. How do you shake the lulav? But this is enough to give the shiur on Sukkot. Rather how to buy a lulav, it's a little bit late to give it on Sukkot. Rather how to bake matzahs and do beer chametz, it's a little bit late to do it on Pesach. So that's the word. Whatever you need it for before Yom Tov, before Yom Tov, 30 days. I mean, on Yom Tov, it's enough to have it on it. That's what the Beis Yosef says. What the Bach says. Hilchos Pesach, Bib Pesach, doesn't mean Bib Pesach. Bib Pesach means before Pesach. But there are different opinions, but that's what the Bir Halacha says. He doesn't think you should just wait till Pesach, Gufa, to give the Halacha. You should try 30 days before. The Minhag Olam is not that way. Where do you find the Shiurim 30 days before? You have to start on Purim proper, says over here. Who do you know on the Suda's Purim when he's half tipsy is Tahitus Pesach? No, not Shushan Purim. Purim! It's 30 days and on Purim. I mean, go back.
What do you mean by the right thing? Let's say, for example, on a similar thing, if I have a question, I'll start on Tahitus Pesach, I ask the rabbi. doesn't mean you guys
think
I can open up
a Shulchan Aruch for that. That's exactly what it said. That's going to be a loch screaming against the Ram. The Ram says to Shulchan Inyan.
No, leave it.
Everybody should pick out, open up a Mishnah Berurah on Purim and start learning Hilchos Pesach.
Right.
But no one does that.
Right.
Yes.
Who says it was 2 weeks before?
So what's the question?
Because
a month before the first Pesach, there was no Pesach.
And next year.
What was the next year? Let's go back to the Gemara. What does it say? Here's the Tanya. Tana Kama. Pesach Rishon Mazeh Pesach Sheni. Okay. And what's Rashbag? Rashbag Azariah from what? Korosh Zalachem. Yeah. Moshe logs it up. Zariah from what? Hold on. I think the Rav gave a teretz, and he said that even though there's a din of shloshim yom according to the Tana Kama, the Rabbanan, they also agree there's another yisod of 2 weeks that everyone agrees to. And I think it has based in the sugya of Masechta and Megillah that the din of 2 weeks shkolim with all that stuff. I think one of the yisodos was that even the Chachamim who hold for 30 days also hold for the yisod of 2 weeks. Alright, they hold the tzvei din. One that has 30 days, one that has 2 weeks.
Don't
you
mean
since
you start going
deeper? I don't know. So the mayor suggested that 30 days is Shul Kinyan and 2 weeks after the Gemara the Drasha proper. Maybe, but I don't remember exactly what the teretz was. I think someone else asked the kasha. Not before mayor's kasha. It's an old kasha. Don't know, not sure. Let's go back to Gemara. Let's go. Om Rav Yehuda Bar Abba. Habo dek tzarech shiyavatl. Come on, do sugya. Habo dek tzarech shiyavatl. Okay? Abodek Sarav Shiyavata. My time in name of Mishim Piruin or Lord Hashivi, Vichitano, the Hemed, the Mitra, the Waka, Basi, Hashivi, the Atanya, Sufetano, Mishamat, Sadeum, and Anovim, Subayanov, Mishamat, and the Arabic shows, name it Lost, his manship, Bala Bias, Makbalayan, Astur, Mishim Gazel, the Hemed, the Mysim, his manship, Bala Bias, Makbalayan, Mutor, Mishim Gazel, Turman, and Mishim Mysim. What does that prove? Rabbi Osiris' whole story about Zeroyim, what does it prove?
It doesn't matter.
We've been here before, but let's gather over again. Rashi, last time I tried to avoid some of the intricacies of the sugya. V'daita ale or ilave, two different gerushas. What does Rashi say? Chashuva hi be'eino v'chos Alei or Aleha Lisarfa whatever it is. Lisarfa Umasha Filu Rega Echad Vinimsa over Aleha Bayova Yamate Avamisha Bitla Aina over Lokosav Ela Tashbisu. Whoa, let's stop right here. What is Rashi saying? What did Rashi say?
If you didn't
do a bittul, then you stand to be over Bayro on a flash. Boom! A flash. 1 second, you're ready over on the Easter of Bayro by Yamatse. If you did bittul you're Mekayim Tashbisu. And then if you're Mekayim Tashbisu and you found a Gluska Yofa, and you don't burn it instantaneously, you're still not violating by your oil by your because you already zapped this chametz via your pitul, which is tantanat tashbisu. This is how Rashi learns pshat. So what does it mean? Data ilave. When? If he didn't do a bitul, when is data ilave? Now. You find it on Pesach. That's how Rashi translates the words. So according to Rashi, translating the words, that delay refers to when, if he finds it on Pesach. That's Rashi Sheet. Tosfos. V'date ilave pirush v'lo botel me'elov kimo peirurin. What does that mean? Tosfos learns that delay does not go on Pesach proper. When did it go on? Erev Pesach. When he took stock and inventory of what he has, so whatever crumbs were around the Pirurin, he ignored. He didn't have dots in the Pirurin. But the good chavetz, the gluskas yafes, whatever he may have had then, that he really considered to be important at the time. And since he considered to be important at the time, and Erev Pesach, when he took the stock of his inventory, and he discovers it for some reason, on Pesach, there is a potential violation of Bal Yiroa by Yimotze. That's how the Tosis learns to try against Rashi. One second. Papiesha Kudrus Kosha. My para kimashkachasle. Nevatle. Next line. Fedor kimashkachasle levatle. What do you mean? Hapirish vedati lavesh chasale levatle. What do you mean? Vikimashkachasle levatle. The Moses got to say that the levay not to the levatle. In other words, according to Tosis, that data levay refers to Erev Pesach, Frekta Gemara. No, now it's out of Erev Pesach. But now it's on Pesach. I mean, Erev Pesach, remember, at the time when he took inventory list. But now, of course, he wants to get rid of it, the from in. But according to Shita Tosfos Harashi, a Data Levay goes on Pesach, what do you mean, Mishkachasle Mevatle? The Moria Tosfos is saying, he doesn't want to be Mevatle, it's Data Levay. So Chastira from one line to the next asks Tosfos against Rashi. Sure. That's what he's saying. Below Botel Me Elov Kimo Pirurin. That means Pirurin, that you have, you know, you say, what chametz do you own? You say, I own this and this. What else? Crumbs. Gah! That's garnished. He already makes a statement of being making it into nothing. This attitude and statement is made already before, 2 days before Pesach. It's only a full day before Pesach. It's nothing. If you crumbs. Don't hear you. No, I understand that. But the Gemara is then asked the question from Gluska Yofa, right?
Yeah.
There's a contrast between Gluska Yofa and because Gluska Yofa is Da'at Ilavei when? Not on Pesach, Chas V'Shalom. So from Yid, Da'at Ilavei means when? Erev Pesach. It was permitted to have Da'at Ilavei. Right? Now he wants to cash it on Pesach. Because of course no one wants it on Pesach. No answer is too late. Bosser Yisuru.
No.
How do you translate the words v'date lave? When date lave? When? Wrong. That's a Rashi learns shatz on yantar. Tosfos learns shatz is an error of yantar. What? No. They were Shema Yimtza Gluska Yafa that Dati Lavei from Erev Yontif, right? And now he suddenly discovers it. Oh, he missed it in his Bedika somehow, or missed it in his beer somehow, and now he suddenly confronts it on Yontif. He doesn't want it now. According to Rashi, it's very difficult because he's saying Dati Lavei on Yontif. It's on Yontif, so means obviously he doesn't want to give a Vatle. So what's happening? Rashi's a little bit problematic. The Kitzer, if you look in the Rabbeinu Hananel, he has a slightly different gear, so one letter is different. No? Which letter was different? Find it yourself.
Bottom one.
Towards the bottom, right? Di. Very good. Not vidate, but didate. It's the third line from the bottom. Towards the end of the line. Didata Allah. What do you mean, did? What do you mean, did? That. What do you mean, that? So the Meiri explains the following shot. No. This Gluska Yafer. Oh! This is the Gewaldige cupcake he's been saving ever since Hanukkah. It's been in the freezer. And he decides he's going to eat it for the Siyam and Erev Pesach. He's making a Siyam Bucharis. And they have this delicious cupcake with that icing with the sprinkles on top. And he's going to have it for the Siyam. Only one problem. He wakes up a little late. And he runs to shul in a hurry. And he forgets his delicious cupcake in the freezer. And then, of course, he gets so busy, and he wakes up, all of a sudden he opens the freezer to get the wine and to say that, there's the cupcake! Didate ilave! He had in mind to have that cupcake for the seal, delicious cupcake! And there it's staring him in the face by the Seder night. Gewalt! I'm always scared to happen in my house. Oh, really? Because we save stuff for the seal. We have, really, I'm always frightened. Thank God, so for Bliya, I don't know if that ever happened yet. But you know, he saves up for the Siyam. You know, every year I bring some food for the Siyam, because, you know, it's my Siyam. And the shul, I bring, you know, whatever, sure, you know, Purim, we get so much stuff at Purim. So much. So as much as we eat, and eat, and eat. The quantity of Balamor, we feel, I always keep it around that month, there's a kind of Tashbisu, and more, and more, and more. But it's often, and something's still left. No problem, we'll bring it to the sea. Well, my wife makes a bag for me. Okay, I never take the bag for the sea. I remember, because she organized, puts it in one bag. But if not so well organized, or some...
Did you make a sea on Friday this week?
There's a whole discussion when the sea is going to be this year. The whole Arichas, we're not up to that. Hilchas Erev Pesach Chag B'Shabbos, we'll get to believe that soon. Because there's a more than a few gimel about it. I want to get to it earlier rather than later. I don't want to wait until the last minute. There's so much... I have a book called Hilchas Erev Pesach Shechal Leos B'Shabbos. That's a different book. It's a different book. It's a great book. Someone lent it to me. Fantastic. That's in English.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm talking about a Hebrew book. Yeah. The footnotes the same, but the author of the Tefillah's Kalem book. All the same style.
Oh.
Beautiful. It's gewaldic. So, different series. This is the Tefillah's Kalem, Agolah's Kalem. A few other things in there that there's a lot of Cohen, Tzvi Cohen, Gvaldik, he's great. He's malak at everything. So we'll get to that fairly short order. Anyway, Felin Edda. So that's what did that the Yela. That's what he wanted to have, right? That's the pshat. In other words, and the Michtam explains that since he had that the Ale, he wanted to keep his cupcake for Shaito. He made a mental decision last night after the bediga to keep the cupcake. And he just pushed and forgot to eat it up in the morning. Then he's talking over the Mafreya. The shogeg, but still over the Mafreya. As opposed to a cupcake that he never saw in his life. Oversu, says the Michtam. It's not his fault. So you forgot to eat up the cupcake, might have seen him. It's your fault, all right. We can look for, you know, you were busy, was there a Pesach, you didn't have enough sleep, alright, but still it's some kind of a fault on your part. But the cupcake you never saw in your life, that's not your fault at all. Oh, now. So the question is, what's pshat in Rashi? What's pshat in Rashi? What happened over here? What did he want? He didn't plan to eat it. It's not the plan. I saw a cupcake and I saw I want to eat chas v'sholem. If I made a mental decision on Pesach to eat it, I'm being mevatel of the bittul. So forget what I mean bittul. Yes, sir.
I just need to know how here, so what the gemara.
Yes. Good question. But at least, the very least he can do is he mevatel it now. And if he's mevatel it now...
Same problem with Rashi.
No, he's not over in the future, and as far as any other area may have had in the past, Chazal can't worry about that, because the truth of the matter is that this is something which is, you know, just sort of can't help it just happened. Forgot to eat it up. Bipashtus. There's a bit of a problem with this child, a different problem. The problem is it covered by the first initial bitl? All lush bitl we make at night is what? Call chavir v'chavir, diga b'shutzi, d'lo chazite, or d'lo biyarte, libotel, v'lavehefker. Kafadara. What do you mean d'lo chazite? Because the Cheerios I'm saving for breakfast, I'm not being about all that. I want to eat it for breakfast, a cupcake for the seum. I'm not even about all that. So even if you would have a bitl, it wouldn't cover it. That's your asking. That's right, what you mean to ask, but we could reinterpret your question. What am I asking? Akash over here, habod itzav shivat. Frank the Gemara, v'chi meshkachas lo levatle. Let him make a bitl later on. Gemara says, no. The original bitl has to be done because that's before Zman Yisr. Question, but the original bitl, we'll see soon in the rush, could be wasn't chal on the cupcake that he left for what? For what we call the siyum in the morning, siyum b'chayrus, or things of this nature. That's a good question. I don't have to think about it. It's a good question. Okay, so let me ask you, Levaisa, come on. According to Rashi, he comes eyeball to eyeball with the chametz on Pesach. There it is. And he freezes. Oh. Now what's he thinking? What's going through his head at that moment? If he plans to eat it, then what do you say? He'll make a bitl and Erev Pesach is going to help? Won't help, because he plans to eat it. There's without any bitl to eat it anyways. Jews are planting chametz on Pesach. Can't be. So he doesn't plan to eat it. So what does he plan to do with it? If he doesn't plant either. What's he thinking? So obviously he doesn't want to be koned. So what's the pshat? So one pshat might be, this is the pshat of the Tosfos Rid that I asked you to see. He doesn't jump to burn it. He doesn't jump 95 miles an hour. But I see chametz, we quickly run to burn the chametz. He doesn't jump so fast. I asked you to see a Tosfos Rid. Dibra Maschel Zera. Love of the days. I'm told there's no Tosfos written based Medrash. Do you have one? There should be, but the based Medrash have copies of the whole, one by the whole Shas.
Yes, someone has one copy.
Hold on. Let's go slow. Look what he said. Listen carefully. First of all, he says, my shot, that I quoted before from the Rath. The minute he sees the chametz on Pesach, he'll be a little bit lazy. He's busy in the middle of doing something. That's what he says. Uvachol chamesh hashir b'dikato en l'gzor v'kevin shenicho b'tzidach en l'varo k'en it's not afyud so mizir zorebe avazu shemota acha b'dikato l'izor. It's a new word. Not like I said he saved it from before the b'dik. He found it after the b'dik. That's why he takes care of the cat that he asked before. That was before the b'dik. We're not afraid about it. He put it in a bag and it'll take care of it. He found something after the b'dik. We're afraid it'll slip between the cracks. That's the Tosfos Rid's pshat. He's going to be too lazy. He's not going to run that split second to be mevarich. So if he did a bitl, he's not over. If he didn't do a bitl, then he is over. Umashe kasafti b'madura tinyona. This is the song. But it's madura tinyona that Tosfos Rid wrote. She yachus alech and elitno legoi. Look, now, I can't fault Tosfos Rid. What else? He's not going to eat it. And you're not going to throw it out, by the way. So he probably meant at the beginning to give it to a goy. That's how the Tosfos Rid learned in the Madura Tinyana. And guess who learned that way besides Tosfos Rid? The Pnei Yehoshua. Can you imagine that? Because Mechavah the Das Rishonim. Because Mechavah the Heilige Tosfos Rid. The problem is the Tosfos Rid pulled out the rug from under him. He backs out. So he should leave the Pnei Yehoshua holding the bag. But he says, Eina Nirli, I back out. Shari Osu Ubahana Osu. Unisinasa the Goy Hanoi. Considered Kano. Vilaver is she asking on. Vesu, the Mashalo, the little the Goy Mayola, Bittle Shiasla Mikonokhaim, came at Shechaza Verota Liskos, but over the Valley Roya. It's the battle of the Bittle, his desire to give it over to the Goy. Therefore, he goes back to his third shot, he saw. He just missed Atel a little bit. See here, the Rid has two perushim. It's the original pshat, which is the Pnei Yeshuas, and it's part of pshat, which is the portion of pshat you would call it. It's Miss Atzel. barn. So we have two pshatim according to Rashi. This is al derech Rashi. One, he had the mind to give it to a guy. That's the pnei Yeshua, the rid madura kinyana. And two, he's just misatil. He's not in a rush to burn it. So if there was a bittul, he's free, saved. If there was no bittul, he's in bad shape, because that was those few seconds, he is over. Okay? Of course, Masha Manas Lavaro comes in always. He keeps coming again and again and again and again. And we are responsible often as Rashi creaks in that yourself on Chav Tesla Bays. Or maybe the Tos himself never said it with the Makor Chayim's Pshah. Okay? That's it. Comes along the Rashash with a fascinating question.
Wait, it's not a typo. Oh my gosh. Oh no, did you figure it out?
It's a typo, David, that's my fault. Rashash, I pick it up in my proofreading. It's Bays of an Aleph, the Master of Mission, not Dal of an Aleph. Oh no, I'm sorry. Oh boy. Who knows how many other mistakes I made over here? Aminon, he said. Okay, let's turn to the Rashash, please. What are the changes you make? What are those?
The grudge.
Oh, the grudge, yes. Seven tough men.
Yeah, the
Chazan. And what Chazan is the
Chazan?
The Chazan is the Yes, sir. Was it real? Gavaldic. Look, what was the question? What does the guy want? He wants to keep it, he wants to get rid of it. The answer, he wants to get rid of it, but he's a little bit lazy. He's not running to burn it. That's right. No. Right now, I'll give you a mushroom. Where am I running? I'm running to do something important. What important? I'm running because my wife told me, please go shopping and get me onions. I have to make a kugel, and I need it now. Now! So the guy's scared still. He runs, he's not going to put on his way to get the onions. He notices that, I runs out the door. He happens to catch in the back of the corner of his eye some Yankee Doodle. He forgot the bird. He's going to save it for the sea or whatever. Now, on the one hand, he's afraid of God. On the other hand, he's afraid of his wife. So he figures, look, my wife is more immediate, right? So let me go quickly get to the onions, and I'll come right back, and I'll take the Yankee Doodles, and I'll throw them into the incinerator. So he runs to the store, comes back 2 minutes later with the onions, and he runs to the thing, and he throws it into the fire. But for those 2 minutes, he's over by Rabbi Yamatze. But if he's been bittle, then he's not over by Rabbi Yamatze. Yeah! So if Bittul would work in Pound Pesach, no problem. He yells, oh, can't get in the onion. Bottle. That's when he comes back and he throws it out. But it's too late for the Bittul then. So for those 2 minutes, get in the onions, and then he's over by Rabbi Yamatze. Don't laugh. I make jokes, but don't laugh. This could really happen. I heard a Pesach about a bust is a holy terror, you know? I mean, really. I mean, you come by to say it when you feel like this, but all the work, you know, I mean, that's, come on. Yes.
So it's not that he wants to keep it, just...
Right, exactly, right, exactly. Says the Rashash in the Mishnah, come on. Okay. The Mishnah, Bok and its Achamitz, the Rav. We discussed a little bit before. Is the Mefarsh of the Talmud lo samchin and abitul the chashin and shem yitzak luska yefefiyah. The first Rashash in the Masechta. The nimlach al bitulo. What are we afraid about? He'll back out from the bitul. So here's a whole discussion. Machshava, Maisa. On of the Chorah, the fourth one, Ikadivi Arav Tamua, a pliatsuma. To the Kamada, Babamid Beis, Mukach, Lehedja, the bebitul as the locha shosho de gluska. The whole point of the bebitul is to avoid the whole problem of a gluska. So how can the Bartanura say that we don't rely on the bebitul because we're afraid of finding the gluska? That's exactly the point of the bebitul in case he does find the gluska. That's a gewaldige kasha against the bar tenura. So he gives it to us a balabatash atera to give. Via shloma. To below v'dika v'adai matashim to gluska. V'ken chashina and shema yimalach habitula. Aval achar v'dika ein ala chashash shema yim to gluska. V'shema yimalach. The two things have to go wrong. Define the Yankee doodles and then you have to back off in the bittle. Well, the trey shema sulo chashina. That's too remote. A double shema. Svek svek. So therefore we're not worried about it. Not that he gets out. That leaves a little bit unsatisfied. So the stipula, the very opening line of a sefer on Psachim, Siman Aleph, in the very beginning, asks this question, and he gives his own answer. Very interesting answer he gives. Yeah, sure. He says, you know, there are two different things we're worried about. One is, he'll be Miss Atzel, he'll be a little bit lazy, as we just saw from the Tosis Rig. And two is, he'll back out from the Bittel. The word Dati Alei can mean two different things. In the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, what does Dati Alei mean? He'll be lazy, he'll be scared of his wife, for whatever reason. And it'll just take 2 extra minutes. For that, Bittel is affected. The Bar Tanura's idea of Gluska Yafa is not afraid that he'll just wait 2 extra minutes. We're afraid he's going to back out from the Bittel. His salivary gland is going to start to be activated. Right? And then he's going to, for one split second, he'll think, all right, what did I do here? What was I about to my chometz for? I didn't realize I had Yankee Doodles. M&M's, or that's not chometz maybe. But there's some kind of noodles, it just got the OU, and I never had it before. Oh, what did I do? What was I about to do? I was about to my Bittel. So for that, of course, there's still a lot to worry about. The original Bittel won't help for that. So that's the point, that when the Bar Tanura is worried about Gluska Yafa, it's worried about a completely different thing. It's even Mevatel is Bittel. That's not the same Dati Lavei as the Gemara had.
I think Mevatel is Bittel.
You say, I'm here with Mevatel is Bittel.
Yeah. Put it in your mouth.
You don't have to recode. I don't think you don't have to.
You don't have to say it.
You don't have to recode it. It's not yours anymore.
Oh, you have a good memory. Do you remember we learned about a month ago the second piece of that same piece of the stipula? A Rashi Lishitosoi. That right? That the Tosis didn't like Lishitosom. The Rashi Lishitosoi. What's the nature of Bittel Nuat? What? Bishtashbisu. But it's still mine. Remember, but no one liked it. Everyone argued with me on that. If I showed you inside the study, but you didn't like it either. I showed you the fairish. It's still mine. I zapped it. But it's still mine. I can back out. Where the quarter of the sheet of toast that is hefty, you can't just back out like this. It has to be re-kona, which is, it didn't do it. It was with his eyes. He's not re-kona. So that's the start for the second part of that same column. There he goes into that. After the Rashi told the sheet toast. But the today answer is look at the parts before the word after. The initial shtickle Torah of the stipend, right? Oh, so now I want to discuss the yes.
We said that when the two finalists, the
Bar Tanura, the frail back after the Bittel. Ah, he's not going to eat the hummus on Pesach. Such a rush, or not?
Right.
Well, save it till after Pesach. The only value raw. There's no malchus after all. Come on. Between friends. So that's what we're afraid about. He'll back after the Bittel and leave the Yankee after Pesach. Whatever. That's what the Bar Tanura is afraid about. But that's not what the Gemara is afraid about. No. He wasn't afraid of that. He was just afraid about going to want to get the onions for his wife. He was Atzel them in the beer hummus. Yes, sir.
The closest word answers
closest question Rashi. Well, it's Kashan Rashi. What do you think Mashkachas? We just got to say Dati Lave. The answer is Pashat. If you can do Bittel as you're running to get the onions, it would solve all the world's problems. And Kodesh Baruch was happy, his wife will be happy. He runs full speed to get the onions, and on his way running, he says, I raise a bottle. That's the most Kasha. We have to do Bittel on earth, Pesach at night, do a Bittel now. Why is it too late to do Bittel? But if he didn't do Bittel, then it's a serious problem. He's going to be Mr. Atzel, he's going to run out to get the onions, and those 2 minutes are going to be over by Rabbi Amatze. It's gewaldic. No steer between Dati Lavei and Levatle. He's happy to do Bittel. He's just not happy to do the beer now because he's in a rush to get onions. Pasha, the kasha is answered automatically. No, I thought it was Pasha that way. I think so. All right. Let's go. You may remember we mentioned the Meiri on our daf. We saw it already a while ago. But the Meiri says they're afraid, some say, they're afraid they're going to eat it. Chas v'shalom, eat it on Pesach. But he did bittul on it, he won't eat it. What's this? Human psychology. Once you did bittul on it, so in your mind, it's mud. You don't eat mud. But then the Meiri says in that same paragraph, don't think for 1/2 a second that once he does bittul, he's allowed to eat it. Let's think about a thought. He says, chas, don't ever dream such a thing that bittul can be such a zapper that you can send the ice chamas and you can eat it afterwards on Pesach. Don't even dream about it, says the Meiri. Yes.
Why in all the other cases we said you have to do it like that?
Yeah.
If you can do
bittul,
you can sell it to the garden. Why should you need
a
carrot if you're not there?
He takes mud.
Yeah, well,
I was afraid someone was going to eat it anyway. That's what he said. So the Meiri doesn't talk about running away from getting onions for your wife. He has a somewhat different psychological insight. His lesson is as follows. He says, the no sein leiv lahashosa ma'at achi is yashev daitu alav lahriach tivo mitzara mitzvah. What does that mean? The person sees delicious cake, his first reaction, delicious cake. And he wakes up, wow, the Pesach. As soon as he realizes what the stakes are, he says, I'm going to want to get rid of it. But for that first initial reaction, the cake is delicious, we can't deny cake is delicious, but we're afraid that until he gets around to force his nature to want cake, and to be overcome by the mitzvah, and that's a split second, but also Shah, he's over Rosh Hashos, he's over Bali Roya and Bali Mutzik. Until then they think, well, maybe I'll be able to find a head there. You know, everyone's looking for entertainment in this world. Maybe. So that split second, he's trying to look for a head there, he's going to be in the violation of Bali Roya and Bali Mutzik. If he does bittul, then it won't happen. First of all, he won't be over. And second of all, it's considered mud by him. Well, that's what the Meiri explained. Fine. This is the Meiri on our daf. Now, we mentioned before the Meiri here got the long arichas. What is bittul? We already spoke about it at length. I don't want to go over the whole thing again. What is bittul? Is bittul tajbisu? Is bittul midin hefker, or is it some combination thereof? I wanted to say over a bar from the roof before I get any injunctions on me befrat. I want to quickly kaparai. The roof said the following shot in Shitas Rashi. Why Rashi didn't like Tosfos? What's wrong with Hefker? He said a radical suggestion. Do you remember the big Ramban that we saw, we even Xerox, and everybody had a copy of it in front of us, the Ramban, there's a whole pilpul. Does Hefker work or does Hefker not work? Remember that? Until he found it, see, Rishalmi had that proof that it worked. What kind of question did Hefker work or not? We all know that it says in the Holy Torah, in the Gemara, Shelkoi Ataroa, that the prohibition is limited to Chumash belongs to you. This Chumash is not yours. Hefker! How can Rabban think for a minute that you're over by Roa, by Emotah, and Chemto Shel Hefker? So the Rav said, no. Maybe the Ramban's original thought is correct. Maybe Rashi holds that way. That you are over and Chemto Shel Hefker. I am the Pharisee in the Gemara, right? The Chumash, Shalchoi Ataroa. Yeah, but it's 2/2 of the sentence. Shalchoi Ataroa. Alataroa Shalachayri. Lamosha. We saw Rashi in the same shot. Rashi, hey, we're basically Kagon. What's Kagon? Nachri or what? Or Hekdesh. Why did that say Kagon? Would it belong to another Jew? So we saw that the Poskim say, and the Shua points out, others say, that Rashi says, no, if it belongs to another Jew, I am over there. Only if it belongs to Rishus Shel Acherim, the formalized Rishus, not as a Goyish Rishus or a Hezdish Rishus, but it doesn't have to actually belong to me, for me to be over. That's the case. It doesn't have to belong to me for me to be over. If it's in my house, and I'm over, even if it belongs to another Jew, who adinami? If it's in my house, I'm over. Even if it belongs to whom?
Hefker.
So the Rav suggested that Rashi disagrees with Tosfos fundamentally, because Rashi, over the Tzad the Ramban, originally suggested that Hefker is no good. I acherim. No, acher just means that it belongs to somebody else. A goy. Or if it belongs to Hekish, but not if it belongs to another Jew, not if it's ownerless. I mentioned today, sorry for the fact that we have to act quickly, we call it the Rav, but more than that, that this title we spoke about earlier today also. We said before the tour of the Rav Yo, the guy goes out and leaves it Hefker. So there's a whole discussion there when there are Moses that go out to move in, it's a Dafka Lav Dafka. But we're saying now it could be Dafka. Because if he just leaves it, it's Hefker, no one moves in, maybe Hefker's no good. We thought Hefker's no good just to be Chumra B'Alma. According to the Rav, maybe it's no good, Mika Radin. Maybe. But if Goy moves in, then a Goy took over, a Goy has it, then of course it's okay. It's a Mishnah Kol Shah. You're permitted to sell it to a Goy. Well, that's just a new point which we didn't discuss last time. We learned Abdalid. Why Rashi disagreed with Tosfos? So it could be because of all the kashas of the Meiri, of the Ramban against Tosfos, the technical questions. It could be a more fundamental point. He simply holds that Hefka is no good. It's possible. It's possible. It's possible. Sure. Why does Rashi disagree with Tosfos? Until now, we learned on a technical basis. Tosfos learned Hefka, it's not Hefka. It's not B'fnei Shlosha, it's only B'leiv. And it's, what do we do with Rabbi Yossi, Sheet in the Dorim? Honey, we had nine kashas. We had nine kashas against Tosfos, something like that. At the Miri, the Mogan Obas, they rattled off nine kashas, something like that. These are also the technical questions. Shabbos, can I have Hefker on Shabbos, right? All those technical questions. That's what we assumed Rashi held. But the Rav said, no, it's a more fundamental point. Maybe Rashi would hold that Hefker is insufficient. It won't work. Now the Ramban himself suggested that possibility. Well, he disproved it from Yerushalmi somewhere. So maybe Rashi holds that Hefker in fact would not work. I shall call but the Rosh shall acherim. So Rashi says, she tells him Ahmed Beis. Achem and all the way around. Make it happen. Doesn't make it into a Gora. Make it into a Hekish. That's it. The Ramban suggests this possibility. Ramban rejects it at the end. Anyway. Okay. I now come to the flip side of this topic, which is the next few lines of the Gemara. Very important. Very, very important. The Gemara says, "V'chi mashkachas lo levatle." And